Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends, to another week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're going to look at the gospel readings this week that the church gives us at daily mass. Today is taken from Mark chapter 9, a powerful moment in the life of the disciples and the Lord. They're encountering a possessed young boy that Jesus delivers, and it's a beautiful, powerful, both moment of the demonstration of the power of our Lord, the power of the kingdom of God, and the power of Jesus to set captives free, which is, you know, what he said when he came out of the Jordan River, went to the desert, he battled the enemy from the desert. It said the Spirit led him not only into the desert, but then the Spirit led him back to his hometown, and he stands up in the synagogue in Nazareth, and he reads that Isaiah prophecy about the Messiah. It was the reading and the scroll, and the Messiah would be the one upon whom the Holy Spirit rested. Messiah means anointing. Part of what that anointing meant was the power to give sight to the blind, to announce the year of favor, to set captives free. And then from that, Jesus goes out and we see him do it. And one of the places he does it is he delivers people who are possessed by demons. And here's a story. The central thing here, though, in the story is the power of faith and the disposition that the Lord is looking for from everyone who follows him. And so just read this line by line. It's dramatic. It's beautiful. It says, as Jesus came down from the mountain with Peter, James, and John, that's the inner ring, his inner circle among the 12, and approached the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. Immediately on seeing him, the whole crowd was utterly amazed. So they came down, Peter, James, John, and the Lord came down from the mountain together. See the disciples in the distance. Religious leaders are there, scribes, and they're arguing with the other disciples. And the four of them come walking up, and here's what unfolds. Immediately on seeing him, the whole crowd was utterly amazed. They ran up to him and greeted him. He asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" Someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I have brought to you my son, possessed by a mute spirit." So this demonic spirit had a hold of him and he couldn't speak. "Wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth. He grinds his teeth and he becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive him out, but they were unable to do so." He said to them in reply, "O faithless generation, how long will I be with you? How long will I endure you? Bring him to me." So Jesus is expressing, sounds like, frustration. "You faithless generation, why don't you believe? Why don't you have the level of faith that the power of the kingdom of God is here?" You know? And so Jesus said, "Bring him to me." They brought the boy to him. And when he saw him, the Spirit immediately threw the boy into convulsions. As he fell to the ground, he began to roll around and foam at the mouth. Then he questioned his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" He replied, "Since childhood. It has often thrown him into fire and into water to kill him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If I can," exclamation point's very interesting, "everything is possible to the one who has faith." So here in this moment, Jesus, he saw the boy, the demon saw the Lord, and he really tried to stir up the moment. He threw the boy down, he's convulsing, and the devil's trying to keep his hold on the boy. He knows the king is approaching, the kingdom of power of God is coming close, and his days are numbered, you know, right to the moment. He's about to have a power encounter with a power greater than anything he's ever faced before, which is the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, the power of the kingdom of God. So then Jesus wants to know a little more of the history here of what's going on, and in all innocence, the man says, "But if you can do anything, please have compassion on us and help us." First of all, the Lord loves that. He loves the fact this man came to him, trusting, just so broken, just so filled with compassion and desire to say, "Help, please help us." He's honest, he's raw, he knows his poverty, he's desperate, and he's coming to the Lord, and what the Lord is seeing in him is his heart. The heart of a father. And he's pleading with Jesus to have compassion. and he knew Jesus to be compassionate. So the interesting thing is Jesus' response. Because the man is just saying, if you can do anything, and Jesus is saying, his immediate response is, if you can, what do you mean? Of course I can, he said. Everything is possible to the one who has faith. So clearly, friends, what we're seeing unfolding here is Jesus has an understanding of the reality and the power of faith and how it can be expressed and how he's expecting it to be expressed and understood in the life of his disciples. So it's akin to the woman who, you know, was pursuing Jesus in the crowd. She had for many years, she had a blood flow and she battling with these health issues. And she thought, if I could just touch his garment, if I could just touch his garment, I know I'll be healed. And she reached out and touched him and says, power went out from him. And he felt it. He turned around and said, who touched me? And the apostles are saying, what do you mean who touched you? People are bumping into you all around. He said, no, who touched me? And he saw the woman. And she was healed, and he eventually said, you know, your faith has healed you. There's a dynamic here, friends, of a dimension of faith that it's critically important for us to live from. And in some way, her faith drew power out of him in that moment. He hadn't spoken to her. They hadn't met eye to eye. He wasn't responding to a request, but it was the longing in her heart. It was her heart reaching out, her spirit reaching out to him, desperate, save me, Lord, help me, Lord. That heart cry and that power went out from the Lord and she was healed. And again, Jesus held up faith. And so there's different dimensions of faith. One of the dimensions of faith is to believe the truth about the faith. For example, the creeds, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And these are truths revealed to us by God and truths that are foundational in the life of the church. This is what we believe. This is the mark. This is the standard. This is what we are living for, these realities. These define us. That's an important part of faith. But that's not all of the faith, or maybe not even the most important part. I mean, it's hard to separate these things because they both go together. They're really inseparable. And the second one is to say, okay, I believe those things, but because I believe those things, I'm going to surrender my whole life to it. I'm going to surrender my whole life to the persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit that we're talking about in the creed that I'm confessing with my lips. I'm going to entrust my life to them. Think about other people in the scriptures that lived by faith. And I love what the New Testament, various places, says about Abraham. You know, God was not afraid to call Abraham his friend. Why? Because Abraham left everything. He risked everything. The faith he lived was spelled R-I-S-K. He abandoned his land, his financial security, his identity, his respect from people. And he said, we're going to a land of promise. And he said, well, where's that? I don't know. Well, how do you even know about it? Because God appeared to me. What? I mean, imagine him. He's the first one who had this kind of encounter with the living God. And he's now going to bet everything on a promise, on a command and a promise. God says, go, and I promise you this. You know, you'll be a father of many nations, despite the fact that he was biologically far beyond it. He and his wife, she was barren. They had no children. And so it was an impossible situation. All you see what Jesus is saying here? He's saying all things are possible. You see, that's the story of my father and our relationship with the people of Israel now, and to all leading up to the coming of Jesus and being able to now live in union with God, in the power of God, to live a new way of life that gives glory to God and brings the kingdom, the new way of life. And so Jesus is expecting of us, and this is where the dynamic and the power of Christianity is, friends. It's in the risk. It's in saying, you know what? I'm going all in with him. I'm going to live this life pursuing him. He's my passion. I'm going to trust his promises to me, and I'm going to obey his commands with his help, and I'm going to abandon myself and believe in his promises. That's what I'm going to build my life on. That's what Christianity is. And that's when Christianity comes alive and it's dynamic and it's personal. And when a whole community of people do that, it's amazing what God can do through people who have living faith, not just dogmatic faith, but living faith. That's expecting God to act, not being presumptuous, but based on what God said we should do, based on what he promised us, that's what we do. So he goes on, if you can, everything is possible to the one who has faith. Then the boy's father cried out, I do believe, help my unbelief. Beautiful prayer. That's where we should be right now. If the message I'm giving today, if it's stirring you in any way, and you see the point that the Lord is making, and I'm trying to echo here, the idea that faith is meant to be a radical abandonment, like Abraham to become a nomad of faith, and you're betting everything on the commands and promises of God. Your journey in this world, this brief time we have on this earth, you're saying, no, this will define me. I'm not hedging my bets. I'm not going to live at a distance. I'm going all in. So how do we begin to do that if we're not there? Just say, Lord, forgive me for my lack of faith. Forgive me for my desire to often to just secure everything and nail everything down by my own strength, by my own resources, and putting my trust in other things. Lord, I do believe. Please help my unbelief. Bring me into a greater, everything you want in faith, Lord, a supernatural expression that the apostles were living in and the saints live in. Bring me there, Lord. I don't want to be in my lazy boy between now and when you call me home. I don't want to be in a kind of neutral, safe space. I want to live with you the adventure that you've called me to. And that's an adventure that begins with faith, with radical trust. So the reading goes on. It says, Jesus, on seeing a crowd rapidly gathering, rebuked the unclean spirit and said to it, mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. Jesus discerned the spirit, the nature of it, the mute spirit, the unclean spirit, and he spoke to him directly, you mute, deaf spirit, I command you out and don't come back. It's such a powerful thing. And of course, what happens? Shouting and throwing the boy into convulsions, it came out. He became like a corpse, which caused many to say he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, raised him, and he stood up. When he entered the house, his disciples asked him in private, why could we not drive the spirit out? He said to them, this kind only can only come out through prayer. Jesus used this moment to teach the apostles. There was a reason they probably had faith at some measure, some level, but there was a way in which this demon was entrenched in this boy his entire life. And so Jesus was probably saying, for you, you need to have time, a prayer, preparation, maybe some fasting to lean in to the faith and to be able to move according to God's discernment. Whatever Jesus has in mind there, it's not absolutely clear, but this is real. I mean, I've seen, don't have time today, but someday I'll tell the story. I mean, I've seen a situation that was a little bit analogous to this. A young man who was demonized, it was a big struggle, and through a command of authority, the demon came out of the guy, and he passed out, and he was on the floor when it happened, when the demon left him, just like this, kind of. He did look a little bit like a corpse. He just was out. But he came to after a little while, and he was a different person, glowing, rejoicing. Just his eyes were clear. Just amazing what happened. The Lord does that, and the Lord does that through his church today. But the key thing we want to take away today, friends, is to live by a radical faith, abandoning our lives in trust, the kind of faith that overcomes the world, Scripture says. That faith is in us through the grace and power of the Holy Spirit, but we're meant to walk in it boldly for the glory of God. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The Scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.